Reg asked me to give a message today, and I was hesitant, but I'm also honored to have an opportunity to come up here and share God's word with y'all today. It's like anything else, I thought a lot about the teaching that I've heard, and something that Larry had shared some time ago, which is he said I was going to teach on a particular subject. So what you do is you get up and you apologize for it, and then you teach the subject. Well, I decided I wasn't going to teach on a subject after listening to what he had to say. Instead, I would just find a section of Scripture that the Lord was teaching me about and just bring that to you guys today. And I had Mr. Lauren read Psalm 147. And out of 147, it is the reference to the exiles as they are coming home. And that particular scripture was credited to be written possibly by the prophet Haggai. And if you'll turn with me now to the book of Haggai, which is towards the end of the Old Testament, I would love to talk to you about some of the insights that the Lord has shared with me there. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say that the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains in ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on your clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains in ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew, and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields, and the mountains and the grain, and new wine, the oil and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle and the labor of your hands. I'm going to stop there for a second. I want to take a little bit of back history and kind of look at where the Israelites have come from. They've been taken into captivity. It is strongly suggested that Haggai was born in captivity. He was not born in Jerusalem. He was born in captivity, so he's never seen his homeland. He comes back, and this is where he's at. And it's the same for Zerubbabel and Joshua. It's very, very clearly speaks that Zerubbabel was born in the Babylonian area and came back. And so as time went on, they had some very harsh governors in their life. You know, they had Nebuchadnezzar, just one of the harshest men ever to live, and moved on. Well, this last leader that they had, Darius, was one of the most kind-hearted men that the Israelites had ever experienced, possibly in their history. And so he was kind-hearted to the point that he said, you know what, I want you to go back to your homelands. I want you to return to the God that you serve. I want you to rebuild your kingdoms. And as these people began to contemplate, they didn't all return at once. They returned in groups. And the first group that went back, you can imagine what they came back to. I mean, they were coming from the most civilized country in the world, the most advanced, the greatest teaching, everything you could imagine, all the comforts that they had back then, it was available to them. And even though they're returning to their home country, there was nothing there. It laid waste. I mean, there were people there, but they had no walls, no borders. that was constantly being destroyed, what people built up. So it took a great deal of courage for these people, even though they had wept for this and they had heard their parents weep for this, it took a great deal of courage to uproot what they were doing and return home, because they had their homes, they had their jobs, they had everything there. So what is the most common thing that you see a young couple do when they leave their mother and father? What is a dad's biggest concern whenever he gives his daughter to a man? Provide for her, right? And what's the next part of that provision? In the manner of which she is accustomed. Yeah, exactly. So you have these men taking their wives and these other men's daughters away from the most civilized country into this land that they know is where they're supposed to be, but it's still very hard. So what do they settle in to start doing? They start breaking ground. They start building their houses. And for the most part, it's extremely depressing. Have any of you guys had an opportunity to just sit and study the migration into the West, into the U.S.? I mean, have y'all studied that in depth? What are some of the things you've heard about some of the people journaling? Starving to death. What are some other things?
Freezing. Elements killed.
Yep.
Living in the sod huts.
Yep.
Indians.
Yeah, just wild people that live there.
Just weren't used to the same fineries that they had.
Yep. The soils are different. The weather patterns are different. Everything about their move was completely different. So they immediately settled in to start breaking ground, building houses, planting crops. But even then, that's not like we have today where we can throw up tilt wall construction and immediately get things going. They had to go mill the wood, turn it into the lumber that they needed, because it very specifically says paneled homes. They built it up very carefully, and it took years. Well, one of the journals that I find very interesting is when you read some of the journals of some of the wives that have moved out to the West. I mean, probably 75% of what you read is severe depression. And when you're depressed, the response that you see there is any lack of desire to go outside of your own boundaries. You know, you're lucky if you want to do things to promote your own well-being. But these people have focused on promoting their own well-being, and God comes to them and he says, you are living in your paneled houses while this house remains in ruin. Okay, they had lost their focus. They had left land where they were worshiping God, but when they got here, all they could do was think about was self-preservation. And what God came to Haggai and said, he came and he said, take this word to Jehozadak. He says, tell him there's a reason why you guys are struggling so much. It's because you lost your focus. You've taken your eyes off of the ultimate goal. You're more focused on putting a roof over your head and putting food in your mouth. And, you know, God, you know, if you turn with me real quick to Matthew chapter 6, Jesus very eloquently states this on the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body. What you will wear, is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who are you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying that what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So, and just looking through some other things, I absolutely love history. It's my passion. But I'm also a statistics guy. And I believe there's 37 verses in the book of Haggai And 26 times it references the word of the Lord, or the Lord spoke to. This was not a people that was unaccustomed to listening to God's voice. This is not a people who was unaccustomed and stepping away from God. They had merely lost their focus and what God had planned for them to do. So let's go ahead and continue on a little bit further in verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent them, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message to the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, and the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. And they came and began to work in the house of the Lord Almighty their God on the 24th day of the 6th month in the 2nd year of King Darius. Now, the word of the Lord first came to Haggai on the 1st of that same month. So he went, I'm assuming, around that same day and went and spoke to Zerubbabel. And within 23 days, the whole people had come together and started building the Lord's house. Now, that meant that they stopped adding to their homes while they were doing this. They quit plowing their ground, and they came together as a people in 23 days' time. And that's pretty incredible, considering the fact that we're not talking about sending out emails here. Hey, guys, you know, let's gather at the church to go paint. No, this is, you know, they sent out messengers, and they brought the various peoples in to do this. And there wasn't a sense of hesitation here. It says that God inspired them, stirred them up. There you go. And that's a pretty powerful term there, when you hear the term stirred up here. The current temple that they were building, that they were going to start building, that they did start building, was the temple that we recognize that Jesus walked into and Jesus ministered in. So this was a new foundation. And because of that, we're going to read some pretty cool things here. On the 21st day of the 7th month, so we're looking at just under a month later, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, and ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak. So these people, all their life, if there was maybe some elders among them who remembers what that temple looked like, and then the rest of them heard the stories of how amazing the Temple of Solomon was. Do any of you guys remember some of the details of the Temple of Solomon? Can anybody give me some of those? Some of the astounding details.
Gold.
Everywhere. They had a wall that was 75 feet high, plated in gold, and was 40 feet wide. Okay, I mean, everywhere they went, it was covered in the finest woods. The linens that hung there were the finest linens, and then they were gathered, this was material gathered from all over the world. And so they see themselves laying this foundation in a wasteland. And you can imagine depression starting to set in after a month. How in the world are we going to do this? How are we going to restore this temple to its former glory? I just don't see it happening. You know, you can just sense that high depression that's setting in. Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I have covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations and the desired of all nations. will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. So he gave them a promise. He said, okay, I told you to go do it. You've started to do it. Now my promise to you is, just like I kept my promise out of Egypt, I will make this house greater. And I think I kind of said it before, but what makes this house greater than the former house? Jesus is going to walk on those corridors. That's pretty awesome. On the 24th day of the ninth month of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Ask the priest what the law says. If a person carries consecrated meat in the fold of his garment, and the fold touches some of the bread or stew or some wine or oil or other food, does it become consecrated? And the priest answered, no. Then Haggai said, if a person defiled by contact with a dead body touches one of these things, does it become defiled? Yes. The priest replied, it becomes defiled. Then Haggai said, so it is with these people and this nation, in my sight, declares the Lord. Whatever they do and whatever they offer there is defiled. Now, what the Lord is doing is telling them why that what they have done has not been blessed, why their building of their houses has not been blessed, why the planting of their crops has not been blessed. Now give careful thought to this. From this day on, consider how things there were one stone is laid on another in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to heap 20 measures, there were only 10. And when anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail. Yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. From this day on, from this 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. From this day on, I will bless you. So what changed? What changed? What makes the difference here? Okay, his blessing, absolutely. These were people that were defiled, the whole lot of them. They came, they were defiled because their fathers had been defiled. And everything that they did was not going to be blessed by God, because from generation to generation, this curse had been passed down to them. In this case, we're only looking at one generation. But God said, you have, out of obedience to me, started my house. You've changed your focus. And he gave them, he blanketed them and made them all righteous again as a whole people group. Just gave them a fresh start. And it was their swiftness to obey. They weren't hesitant to love the Lord. They had just lost sight of their focus in loving the Lord, their priorities, and their loss of vision. They had forgotten what God had called them to do and how the Lord had reminded them. And once they took a hold of that reminder, then the Lord said, now I will bless you. The word of the Lord came to Haggai a second time on the 24th day of the month. So now we're exactly a month later. Tell Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, that I will take the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of the foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers, and the horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I am chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. So what is a signet ring? I mean, okay. What are some examples where we've seen use of a signet ring in the scriptures? I know we know that Darius used it whenever he sealed Daniel into the lion's den. Yes, ma'am? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Take that signet ring and you can stamp it into the wax, and people knew the authority by which that was placed. Didn't they also put the signet ring on Jesus' tomb? If I remember correctly.
Seal.
They put the seal, but that would be of a similar nature. And so God said, okay, we have changed your focus. You're building the house. Now I'm going to bless you, and now I'm going to restore you. And he's going to use Zerubbabel as his signet ring. He's going to overturn the authorities of the people that have kept this land from becoming a nation. He's going to completely turn that over, starting with Zerubbabel. But if we look back a little ways, because the first question that came to my mind in reading this is, okay, so how come we read that just a few hundred years later, the Romans are now sitting in Israel? And the Romans have taken over Israel. So, you know, what about that? And if you go back to verse 15, it says, now give careful thought to this. From this day on, consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. So somewhere along the line, the people lose focus down the road again. They lose vision, and they get their priorities out of line. And that's, for another day. But what this people group, what these people did was they did what God asked them to do. He blessed them, and then he restored them. Now, there's a lot of other facts and statistics and things I could go through, but I think the gist of the message is spoken. The time period was around 520 BC. They were building the temple even before the wall of Jerusalem was built. This is before Nehemiah had come down, actually quite a while. Haggai was said to have recorded at least two Psalms, 137 and 147. And it suggested that even though they don't know the lineage of Haggai, where he came from, it's possible that his dad may have written Psalm 137. We don't know that for sure. And it's kind of interesting because if you look during this time period, you have Haggai, you have Zechariah, you have Daniel, you have Nehemiah, you have all these books of the Bible that have written from different perspectives on this time period. So it's obviously very, very important for God, for us to understand what God did with his people and how he restored them. So may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. Father God, we just give you glory and praise. Lord, as we have lost our focus, as we have lost vision, and we've gotten our priorities off, I pray that you restore our priorities. You restore our vision, Lord. First, that we should be blessed, and then that we should be completely restored on our quest to see your kingdom advanced. We pray that you give us grace and strength to carry out these tasks day in and day out, to do it swiftly and to not hesitate. We pray these things now in the name of your Holy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.